J10, number 5B.
Today, and with our step now from step one into step three. And what we see, and I'm sure you could see by doing the homework last evening, that there's quite a break there between step one and two going into three. We want to see, therefore, that it was important, as we know now, to first go out from the fact that all is mental to ordinary metaphysics, and that mental can be good or evil, and the necessity of thinking good thoughts, having a good experience, or thinking bad thoughts will have what looks like a bad experience. Now, therefore, we will make this step from one into three, which is thinking in terms of ideas. And naturally, this is such that it's thinking in terms of the ideas of the synonymous terms for God as defined in the Christian Science textbook. So let's take a look at the pitfall of step two. Why we have to go on, why we aren't happy with step two, and why we feel that there's something in the Christ idea through his translation and retranslation, some kind of an impetus that is saying, go forward, don't stay here. There's something higher that needs to be realized within consciousness. So therefore, we can take a look at what these pitfall may be. Naturally, I just have put down various points that I felt were necessary. If you stay within the tonality always of a category, you can always improvise. But you can improvise only if you stay within a categorical reasoning. So now we take a look at this and we say, yes, that the transition now from step two into three is that the pitfall of step two is that my mentality is not an impersonal criterion for judging what is good and what is evil. Maybe I'm thinking evil and calling it good. Or maybe I'm thinking good and calling it evil. This is something which we cannot judge on a step two, because the measuring rod is always our mentality, our common sense. Therefore, or it's our education, whether it was through high school, college, onto advanced degrees, or our religion, or what one teacher, another teacher says, or what the editorials say in the newspaper. All these various influences that influence mentality that have us judge what is right from wrong. We see that this just doesn't hold up. We feel that it didn't hold up in the Bible when they made the switch into the promised land and they asked for judges to judge them. We certainly saw that that was a system that broke down, and Samuel came along therefore and gave them an impersonal measuring rod where he worked out from prophecy. But we know that, as we've talked together, that the Israelites demanded a king. They demanded a personal king, again someone to judge them personally. Samuel was distraught, and yet they demanded the king and they got Saul. Well, we know that didn't work out either. Saul was just symbolically turned to spiritualism, because the children of Israel demanded a king, which is going to gods and, for good and evil. And that king, of course, reverted to spiritualism, which is exactly what the children of Israel did when they went to a personal authority, instead of to David, who finally came along and taught out from the standpoint of principle itself and not from his personality. So we also must do as King David did at that 4,000-year period of principle and ask, what is an impersonal measuring rod by which to judge correctly? And this means that we need an absolute standard of reality. And to some people, they can ask, is there an absolute standard for judging reality? with the world today so much on their virtual reality, locked into their own mentality, locked into their own world views through the mind's many and the God's many and the self-justification of everyone's worldview. So we see, yes, that there is a Savior in the Christ idea, and this Christ idea brings us and has brought the world a divine system of reference, a system of reference based on divine ideas, based on divine values, based on spiritual concepts, however you would like to say it. We always like to say based on ideas, because ideas exist in the divine mind. But you could also say a divine concept, an ideal concept. It means that the concept is of the nature of ideal or God. So we need these ideas that can be used as an absolute standard for judging. Here we see that as a man thinketh, so is he, on step two. And we see that this is only true on the level of ordinary metaphysics. For in the third degree of the spiritual realm, which is in the realm of ideas of the divine capital mind, not of the lowercase human mind, which step one and two is, that really it isn't as a man thinketh, so is he. It really is only as a man spiritually understands, so is he in truth. Really, that crisis of perception where a man on the mental realm that is either good and evil, yes, that is as he thinks, so is he. If he thinks good, he is a good man. If he thinks in bad connotations, he's a bad man. But in spiritual reality, we're all good. We're all of the image and likeness of God. That image is intact. It's only that the pattern is being seen in reverse. So we know that in the third degree, man is good, and as man responds to the impact of that one mind, that all-intelligent mind, which comes to us as wisdom, and that wisdom we look at with purity and with spiritual understanding, that then gives us the spiritual power to love that principle so much that we're willing to give up our mortal concept of life, which brings us then health and holiness. That whole third degree of the spiritual realm, which we love. So we see now that there, you already in tonality, we've made the break from relying on personality and personal judgments, going into a realm which will be based totally on divine values. It's a wonderful, wonderful break. The world is asking really for this break. We will see that. So we just want to keep asking various points. This is a big break for the world. Now, we don't want to sidestep this, not only in our spiritual education, but if in our interest to help others with their spiritual education as they come along, our friends, our families, or other people that we meet. This will be a big break for us and a big break for them. We don't want to rush through it. We don't want to just say to them, well, all is mental, the mental is good and evil, now let's hurry and do this synonym study with the ideas. This has to be a well thought out transition, because this is something new to start a field working in the standard of ideas as presented in the Christian Science textbook. There's resistance, certainly, to saying that these ideas are defined through science and health, and that they have this divine standard. There won't be resistance if we keep it non-sectarian and keep showing that this is just a standard of ideas, and that the best place we can find so far for those for the divine reality values that they're asking for in the world are found in the textbook. The textbook then just becomes a source like any other source. Today we're very fortunate that the Mother Church is sponsoring a project of getting science and health out to the bookshops again. We know that this was done earlier by the Christian Science Organization, that the textbook did appear in the various bookshops, and then it, of course, disappeared for quite a while, and now the church has opened up again that the textbook can go out into the bookshops. This is terrific, really, because this is making it readily available to all, and so we can just say to others, you don't have to go to a Christian Science reading room for our book. Go to Barnes & Noble, go to Crown Books, go to, I'm not pushing any of these bookshops, Dalton, go to all the many wonderful bookshops that we have, and if I had a long list, I'd include them all, that we can buy books. Even the mom and pop bookshops are nice too, aren't they? Just run in the local communities. Now, Dick asked the question, what is the trade edition of Science and Health, and I'll let us, those of us in the class, answer it. Each one has a nice contribution. Jean, what did you feel that you know about the trade edition?
That it's a special edition. It's not like the edition we have, that it has wide margins and marginal notes and a glossary, and it's particularly for bookstores.
Good. And as you mentioned, too, that the cross and the crown is on the spine.
Yeah.
I thought, and that's excellent, because it's in a bookstore, you can see the cross and the crown on the sign. Very good. Louisa?
The cover has a totally new design and other colors that we haven't seen before.
Good.
And it's almost as big as a notebook, not quite that size.
Good. That's wonderful. So the inside format is a little different, the outside format is different and larger, but the text remains the same. Okay, but we would assume the text remains the same. It's very important that the text remains the same for our text interpretation according to the Kapler-Dorley line. Yes.
What's the cover? Does it say Science and Health on it?
Yes, I was so surprised. It was on a shelf with new books.
Yes.
And I took it over to the librarian and I said, was this a gift?
Good. Isn't that wonderful? Don? Okay, so Don says that there are three different companies publishing the textbook. This is all interesting for us because what we know now is that during the Nixon administration, they passed a law in Congress that extended the copyright of Science and Health beyond what Mrs. Eddy really wanted. The copyright ran out during her time, and she wanted Science and Health to be readily available to all who wanted to reproduce it as it was, as she had it, and to be readily available as the Bible in bookshops. And so, therefore, with someone within the Christian Science movement who was part of the movement and then began to work outside the organized religion, he then worked on a lawsuit against I guess it must have been to the government, wasn't it? Or somehow to get the copyright law taken back, and now Science and Health again is free of any copyright laws, and now it can be copied freely. And this is good, because that textbook should be out there, as long as they, as I reiterate, don't change the text, if it's reproduced the way the last edition of the textbook is. All right, so Louisa said there is an introduction that is totally new, apart from what Mrs. Eddy said. Well, these are new to us. This is something that's just happening as far as anything added to the textbook beyond with what we're accustomed to. So I just want to reiterate, it's very important that the Dorley-Kapler line text interpretation is based on the original text of Science and Health, and we hope that is maintained. All right, so that's very good. So we have then this important step from step one and two into three, because this is where the world will make the big break into the textbook and seeing that it is just as the Bible through inspiration. It defines spiritually the various divine values of God as Mrs. Eddy through inspiration divine God as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love on page 465 in the textbook. And through the Dorley-Kapler line, John Dorley could see that Mrs. Eddy's definition for God on page 465 as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love corresponds to the 7 days of creation. Mind with the first day, spirit with the second day, soul with the third day, principle with the fourth day, life with the fifth day, truth with the sixth day, and love with the seventh day. And therefore, we can see that we feel that that is a definition that is inherent in reality, as all the laws in being are, and that it isn't something that she invented. Now, we can say in this step from 1 and 2 into 3, an open question is there a state of consciousness which is higher than my present one and which comes closer to reality? Is there a state of consciousness, therefore, higher than my mentality of step 1 and 2? And the answer in the Bible in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. So Paul is saying, yes, there's a state higher than just the mortal human consciousness, and we must go for it. And also in Corinthians, he said, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So Paul showed that there was a higher state than his own mentality. And therefore, we too love that fact. And we say, well, our mentality is based on, as we can see here with the overhead, in the Western world, it has followed the traditional beliefs that constitute the basis of mortal human consciousness, really that dualistic reasoning of mind and matter, something that began way back with the early Greeks. We know Plato had that ideal world of ideas. Many people have said Mrs. Eddy got her work from Plato, but we know Plato was open for inspiration, as was Mrs. Eddy, and the one mind which is God precipitated itself on both of those inspired revelators to see that God's nature was of the nature of the spiritual realm and certainly of the realm of idea. So she didn't get it from Plato, but Plato knew that it was the ideal world. His student Aristotle came along and put more accentuation on matter and material things, and certainly, though beneficial, he gave us his Aristotelian logic of the two-valued logic, of which would say that good is real and evil is real, mind is real and matter is real. That was a rebirth in the Renaissance with Cartesian metaphysical dualism with Descartes, which divisioned the world now we know into mind and matter. Many of us were born into the Cartesian metaphysical dualism as a collective belief, even though individually we were raised Christian Scientists, we were still born into the collective belief of dualism. And that was therefore the mind-matter-body, the belief that we were a mind in a matter body, and that mind and matter were separate, and that we inhabit that matter body, and someday we leave it. It's just like a big machine, like it's a car we use to drive around Earth. Like with sensors out, the eye is a sensor, the fingers are sensors, ears are sensors, and all the senses coming into the brain of the car, the engine, and that brain is interpreting the senses to get around planet Earth. And yet we know that the brain is limited. It doesn't see only in the third dimension of what seems to be the Earth's definition materially. So we kind of have embodied, so to speak, this car or spacesuit or whatever it is to move around on this planet. Well, that's the concept of a mind-matter body. We came into it, and when we don't need it any longer, like our car, we leave it, huh? But this is silly. I mean, we don't need to rent a car on Earth, do we? We are our own spiritual identity. But it looks that way, that we come in, we embody a mind-matter body, and that is all based on personal opinions. The sad effect of coming into this dimension, is death, mortal consciousness, and imperfection. That here we can see that we then become subject to this system of reference, which is not the highest, and we are in this step 1 and 2, and this is why we have to make the transition. We're talking about why it's necessary to go on into another system of reference besides the mental realm. And it's because then that mind, matter, and body, that is taking as the root belief. It's the cause. And the effect then is that we're born in matter, live in matter, grow old in matter, and must die out of matter, subject to mortal consciousness and imperfection. And we saw that the mind-matter-body belief just was based on personal opinions, material mortal beliefs, which spring up from individual beliefs, collective beliefs, universal beliefs, and so-called metaphysical laws that are operating on the conscious, subconscious, collective unconscious, and universal unconscious levels. So we see that the open a question is, we don't like death. We don't like sickness. We don't like mortal consciousness. We don't like imperfection. We don't like jealousy. We don't like hate. We don't like fear in our relationships. How do we get out of it? By saying, I affirm positively that I have warm regard for all human relationships, or I'm going to enter life with great enthusiasm. Is that strong enough to get us out of the belief of death? No. Is it strong enough to get us out of the belief of sickness? Well, in psychoneuroimmunology, the brain's control of the nervous system, if they think positively, they say, well, the brain will excrete a certain endorphin that makes the body healthy. It's stronger than any antibiotic you can get. Well, we don't think positively that enough for the brain to emit this endorphin. And then when the brain breaks down, where are the endorphins? I mean, this is not high enough, is it, to control sickness mentality. And we certainly see that the system of reference isn't high enough then to control the fear and hate and jealousy that is happens within professional work or even everyday work. Professional jealousy is one of the hardest obstacles to overcome for everyone. And most every of the working classes today, most everyone is the working class on whatever level that we find ourselves, whether in large corporations, whether in mom-and-pop businesses, or whether just within our home. Everyone is working, and these strains on relationship are very strong. They say today that stress is one of the major causes of illness, see, mental stress. And this is not solved through the... this does not, handling even stress by saying, well, think positively, all these exercises as we went over on the mental will not get rid of the belief that life, we were born in matter, live in matter, grow old in matter, die out of matter, which is the effect of the belief of the mind-matter-body realm. So it's just not big enough. It doesn't solve the issues. One can play around with the mental realm as long as one likes, but eventually one cannot avoid the inevitable, which someday they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest of them. There must be the switch from the second to the third step. Everyone will see the inadequacy of the mental in one way or another. So we have this big break then from the second step, which is like the second degree based on the human system of reference, then as we went over just now, mind, matter, body, sense, testimony, personal opinions, personality, birth, maturity, and death, mortal consciousness, fear, and imperfection. And the switch now from the second to the third step is into the spiritual realm of the third degree as we see it on page 116 in the textbook. Based on the divine capital mind's system of reference, it can only be based on capital mind because the mind which is God is all of our mind. We have no other mind than the mind which is God. Mrs. Eddy said that work on metaphysics leave the grand point untouched. They never crown the power of mind as the Messiah. And so therefore we see that it's the divine mind that is going to be the common mind of all of us that gives us the one world view and the one standard of reference. That's the only solution to the virtual reality realm of many views. So that is going to do it, and that system of reference we have now from the Christian Science, a textbook based on the capitalized terms. that divine system of reference, we know it then as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, given to us on page 465, as I said in the textbook, defining through inspiration what God is in its nature, essence, and wholeness. Then the other capitalized terms is found in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, is the word Christ, Christianity, and science, which we'll see later gives us the fourfold operation. The word is like the input, the Christ is like the process, Christianity is like the feedback, and like the outcome, and science is like the feedback. As Paul Davies says, that input, process, output, and feedback they see is the major fourfold operation or rule that is at work in the science today. Then we see that later on today we will see how we want to embrace these new terminologies, because the word Christ, Christianity, and science are biblical symbols for what the age today then wants to see as the divinely cybernetic fourfold symbols. Then our symbols of science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science are again symbols of capitalized terms found in Mrs. Eddy's inspired, revealed textbook, just as the Bible was. That's why we go to it, because we feel it was inspired through the one mind, which was God, was Mrs. Eddy's mind. She had no other mind than the mind which is God, as did Plato with his inspiration, as did all other of those who have brought forth fundamental truth. Now, her showing that there were different dimensions in being, and she sets these dimensions in the fourth dimension of spirit. That is not to be taken like the fourth dimension of Einstein. We know now that Einstein's dimensions are hidebound to Earth. They are the three dimensions of space with a coordinating factor of time in his fourth dimensional space-time continuum. Though in the another session this week, I will take how the physicists are seeing other dimensions beyond just the third dimension today through their mathematics. But Mrs. Eddy's dimensions of science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science, they go on within the fourth dimension of spirit. Now, that is a fourth dimensional spatial realm, not a, of a time coordinating the third. It's a fourth dimension, which is a spatial realm, which will include within itself the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, eleventh. How many dimensions there are in being are all included within this fourth dimension of spirit, because she just wanted to show in the symbols of her day there is a realm that is higher than the human realm, and it's a spiritual realm of unlimited dimensions. As she said, you go into spiritual spheres and exalted beings. So that is represented by the levels and dimensions of science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. And we will understand and see more and more what those dimensions are about as we go on in our work. We'll first always begin with the category of the seven synonymous terms for God, then we'll work to the fourfold operation, and then into these various dimensions upon which being operates. So we have through the seven, the nature of God, through the fourfold operation of input, process, output, and feedback, how that nature of God operates, and then through the dimension of God, through science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science, how that operation of God operates holistically, dimensionally, and teleologically. But we want to remember now, as we make this switch into the step three, that Mrs. Eddy gave us a correct reasoning, a way we must always reason from now on. Never again any other reasoning is done. Usually the reasoning in the world is from the effect to the cause, going out from the phenomenon and trying to figure out a cause. Going out from sickness of the body and trying to say, well, let's see now, my heart isn't well. This is when you come into the mental and say, well, if the heart isn't well, I must be that I'm not loving enough. So I certainly better get more compassion towards all mankind. I better do my exercises that I have more compassion towards all mankind. And yet we know very well that that organ language, going out from the heart, trying to find out the problem behind heart disease, may certainly not be that we don't have compassion we may be the most compassionate person on the planet. It could be heredity that we need to find out that the parent mind is the divine mind, and that we are freed from these laws of heredity and DNA through knowing that the mind, which is God, is our mind.